The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, 2325 Calder Road, $12 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number to text the show. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow, with a zero in the snow, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, you know the number. And if you missed the first hour, lots of good stuff. Joel Blank did text me and say he's reasonable and has no expectations for the rest of the season without number 12. So, although I do know some Packers fans that are not reasonable, like Joel is, that think, oh, well, we beat the Browns here and then we'll get Rodgers back, and then we'll make the playoffs. Good luck. That would be my saying on that. Hey, you want to look at some NFL lines? Would you like to do that?
I'd love to.
Are you going to be active this weekend on your...
I will be active.
Yeah, me too. I've got several games I like. And, when I did my pregame picks, I had a lot more games this week than I usually do. So, we shall start. And... actually using pregame.com for the odds. So scrolling. Here we go. Lions and Buccaneers. Now I pick them.
I like the Lions.
I do too.
I think the Bucs are inherently better because Jameis Winston's back. And he's clearly got like a connection with Cameron Brate. They hooked up again last week. Ryan Fitzpatrick was a disaster when he was out. But I still think the Lions are better. I do worry a little bit about the health of Matt Stafford.
Right, and that's my only concern with them. But
you know what?
I worry about him every week, and he goes out and plays.
He's a tough son of a bitch, man.
He is.
He's always hurt, and he always plays anyway. So I'll be on the Lions.
Bengals has held steady at -6.5 from the beginning against the Bears.
Give me Bengals.
Yeah, I don't think the Bengals are a terrible football team. I kind of think the Bears are a terrible football team.
Yeah.
And I do like the Bengals.
I think the Bengals
are
pretty bad.
Yeah,
but I think they're
but they're not as bad. They're not
a touchdown better at home than the
Bears are. Yeah. Yes.
Bengals almost won at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah, they played pretty well in that game. Plus, you need AJ Green to go off.
I'm on bye this week.
Oh, that's right. You're on the bye.
Yeah.
Never mind.
My guys are resting.
I'm in the consolation brackets of both of them with my 7-6 records. Thank you. Bills -2.5 now at home against the Colts.
I'll take the Bills.
Yeah, inside of three, I will take the Bills as well.
I like it better. It opened as a pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did.
And it was. I like it better there. The reason the line moved is because when the line came out, it was Tyrod Taylor was doubtful.
Right.
Now he's probable. I think that he makes the difference.
Jaguars -2.5 now against the Seahawks. I absolutely don't like it. Love it. Love the Seahawks in this spot.
I like the Seahawks, too. I don't love it.
I love it. I love it so much, I want to marry it.
I'll love it if I get three.
And then divorce it.
2.5 I don't love,
yeah,
just based on the number.
And I think it'll get back to three, just judging where the money's going. So I'll probably wait until last minute to play that.
My play is going to be under.
I don't mind the under 40 either.
A Seahawk defense, even a banged-up Seahawk defense against Blake Bortles. And the Jaguars' defense, which has been so good against a Seahawks offense that it really has no weapons besides Russell Wilson. So I like the under in that
although
game
more than
a side.
I think the one thing I would say, though, is that the Jaguars will struggle against mobile quarterbacks, which Russell Wilson is. The other thing, though, to your point on the under, Jaguars are best when they're running the football well. Seahawks, 3.9 yards per rush. I mean, they do a very good job of stopping the run.
Yep.
So... Raiders plus 4 at Chiefs.
Isn't this the most confusing line of the week?
Yeah, I have no idea what to do with this game. I would probably take the Raiders and the points if I were
seems
playing
like
a pool.
It seems like such a square side to be on the Raiders plus 4.
As Granato would say, this is a queer line.
Yeah.
And I really don't know what to do with it. I don't think the Chiefs are 4 points better than the Raiders.
I don't either.
And I'm not sure they're a point better, which is what the home field's telling us.
They get Crabtree back. Amari Cooper's still probably going to play. The Chiefs are without Marcus Peters too. They suspended him themselves.
Yeah.
I'll take the Raiders.
I think you've taught me into playing the Raiders.
I'll take the Raiders, and I'll feel like a sucker if they get crushed, which they probably will now. But
the Chiefs haven't crushed anybody since.
There's just not enough for me to go. Yeah, I like the Chiefs here.
Vikings minus 2.5 at Panther. Tough place to play, but, man, I'm kind of coming around on the Vikings. I really am. I think this is a good football team. I'm not betting this game, but if I were, I think I'd take the Vikings.
If I were betting this game, it would only be if it got to 3, and if it did, I would take the Panthers.
Yeah, I could see that. Packers minus 3.5 now at Brown.
I'm all over
Give
the Browns.
Give me Cleveland. And that is an actual play that I love that one, too. In fact, I'm going to put some money line action on the Browns.
I wouldn't hate it. My site that I play on is giving me even money for 3.5 points, which to me is as good as anything. I'll take that.
Texans minus 3 now against San Francisco.
I'm all over the 49ers in this game. I don't understand where the at minus 1, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, to me it should have been a pick 'em.
Now you're giving me a field goal. Jimmy Garoppolo, you've got the better quarterback. You've got a better coach. And you're getting 3 points. I like the Niners here.
Yeah, the only thing giving me pause with the Niners is the whole West Coast to noon game thing. But I like the 49ers too. I'm not playing it because of that. But I'm with you. If I were playing it, that's the direction I would go. Redskins Chargers. This is another game that has me confused. Chargers minus 6 at home.
Yeah, I was hesitant to play the Chargers at 7. Now under 7, I'm like. Yeah, I'll play the Chargers. Again, it feels sort of like that Raiders line, like I'm going to be a big dummy at the end of the day, but you can't convince me the Chargers aren't 6 better at home. And we've talked with RJ before about the Chargers not having a real home field advantage.
Right.
And you can almost consider it a disadvantage. But the Chargers are playing better football right now than the Redskins, way better football.
And the Chargers have something to play for. A coast-to-coast trip is not easy, even –
Even the other way.
And
the Chargers have something to play for. The Redskins don't.
Jets. All right. If I had said before the season the Jets were going to be 1.5-point favorites at Denver.
I would have laughed.
You would have laughed at me. You would have called me a disgusting, dumb troll. You probably would have shot me. The Jets are 1.5-point favorites at Denver.
Yeah, that line's moved across to 0.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't know if I'm willing to give up points with the Jets. But... I think the Jets win the game, so I guess if I had to play it, I'd play that 1.5.
75% of the tickets are on the Jets, 57% of the money. So
the Jets are getting quality quarterback play. The Broncos aren't.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Josh McCown.
He's functional.
He's been very good.
Here's a game I like quite a bit. I got it at 3.5. I had Cardinals plus 3.5 against the Titans. It's 3 now. If you do power rankings here, these two teams are really, really close. Cardinals have a pretty good home field advantage despite what happened last week. And really, that game was a lot closer in the final score against a much better team in the Rams. I think the Titans are a little bit overrated. Give me the Cardinals all you can eat.
I believe in a lot of what you're saying. What I don't believe in is Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, I can see that. That's why I'm getting points.
Yeah, it is. But yeah,
because if it's Carson Palmer, I guarantee you, I'm not getting any points here.
Yeah, that makes it tough for me though. I just feel like because he single-handedly, lost in that game last week. He's that bad. I'm not looking to play this game.
Rams minus 1.5 at home against the Eagles.
I'm on the Rams. I know that'd be 2 in a row for the Eagles, but who were 2 weeks ago the darlings of the NFL, but. I really like how the Rams are playing. Home field, I like the Rams here.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on this game, but if I were going to go, I'd probably take the Rams. I mean, we just made Lauren the Aggie happy for some reason. Cowboys minus 3.5 at the Giants. Give me Giants with Eli and a coaching change and
I'm
points.
With you.
I like this game quite a bit, too.
I liked it a lot better when it was like 6.
Yeah, it was opened at 6, and now it's 3.5. But outside of 3, I still like it a lot.
Man. You know what the change is? That's a 2.5-point swing for firing your head coach.
Yeah.
That's when you know you had a really bad head coach, when you fire him and your team suddenly moves 2.5 points the right way in Vegas. That's bad.
Steelers -4.5 at home against the Ravens. I will take the Ravens here. I don't know if I'm going to actually play it, but I think these teams are pretty close. And
I already played the Ravens.
It was 7.
I played it 6.5. Yeah. I wish I would have caught 7. I didn't. I played it 6.5. I would also play it 4.5. In fact, I'll probably play a little bit of Ravens money line in this game.
And then the Monday night game, which we'll talk about Monday. But
don't the Steelers feel like they're waiting to the bubble to burst?
Yes, yes. I mean, they've been living on the edge for so long.
And the Ravens look better and better every week.
Yeah.
I know Jimmy Smith is concerning for sure.
Yeah.
But I'll be on the Ravens.
Say what, I love the Patriots -11 at Miami on Monday night. So we can talk about that one Monday, though.
You like the Patriots to dog stomp everybody every week, don't you?
Well, the last 4 weeks they have.
Yeah.
All right, so, hey, Beaumont, you guys like meat?
Yeah, they do.
I know you guys like meat.
Yeah, they do.
You like to give people meat?
Yeah, they do.
Of course you do. Well, how about Omaha Steaks? How about giving the gift of meat? And, I mean, this is a great, great gift. It'd make a great gift for yourself. You should give yourself meat. But if not, and you want to give it to somebody who has everything, you don't want to have to go shopping, all you got to do is get online, boom, get it sent right to them. And let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. For only $49.99, you get my family gift pack. When you go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar, 75% off. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to the Blitzers, Beaumont Blitzers, Houston Blitzers, Port Arthur Blitzers, Vider Blitzers. Doesn't matter. Listen to everything that you're going to get. This is less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steak seasoning pack, and 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. omahasteaks.com.
Hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman from the Blitz. BetDSI is one of the internet's top sports books. Don't ask me, just check out the sportsbook review sites. They are rated A+. They've got an impeccable reputation. Fantastic features, easy deposits, and speedy withdrawals with pretty much every bet type imaginable. Go to BetDSI.com right now. Use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. You can bet parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. Nothing makes watching football games better than wagering while the action is live. BetDSI offers live betting and prop bets while games are in progress. But they aren't just a world-class sports book. BetDSI has a fantastic online casino and race book. You can bring Vegas right to your living room or take it on the go with your mobile device. If you ever get bored of betting on ball games, there are plenty of other ways to get some action at BetDSI. You can find odds on politics, reality TV, and pretty much everything else. If you're looking for a different online sports book, you've come to the right place. Over 20 years paying winners, use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. If you decide to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money right now. Play on the go with their easy-to-use mobile interface. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, and we're going to give away a stay at the Red Roof Inn. How many nights do they get for this? Well, I'll tell you who won. You going to give me the name here, or are we going to sit here and... What does that look like to you?
Oh,
that
boy.
First name. Last name's Diaz. We got that far.
Sabrina?
Is there a Sabrina in the house?
Sabrina!
Congratulations, you get Red Roof Inn. Like, your own Red Roof Inn. You get to own it. Or you get, to, you get to stay for, like, a couple nights. But there you go. All right. 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. We will take your texts. People wanting prediction on Lomachenko-Rigondeaux fight, which
I'm excited
about. That is an awesome fight for free.
Yeah, it's, you don't get fights better than that on free TV. I think Lomachenko's best, probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, so I'm taking Lomachenko, but I do think it's going to be fun to watch.
I like Rigondeaux a lot, too, though. I mean, this is one that if you're a boxing fan, you know who these guys are. If you're not, watch the fights. There's not anything else happening that you want to watch that night anyway, because that's going to be a good fight, man. I mean, I think Lomachenko wins, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be certainly his toughest fight. All right. I wanted to talk about that yesterday, so.
We didn't have time, Fred. We were too busy not taking phone calls.
Yeah. Did you see Oregon went ahead and made Mario Cristobal the head coach?
Yeah.
I got to say, I think they could have done better.
I do, too. I actually thought Jim Leavitt would have been better.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jim Leavitt.
One of those weird things where it seems like you could have gone with the offensive or defensive guy, and the reason why Oregon was so much better this year was because they were really good defensively, and they were like, nah, we'll go with that offensive guy.
And you probably wind up losing Leavitt.
Yeah.
Which, that sucks. He'll probably go to Florida State now.
So what happens with Kevin Sumlin now is my question, because you and I had both kind of projected that maybe he would be the one to get that job. Which would have been, to me, would have been ridiculous. If you get fired from A&M and then you go get a better job at Oregon, I would be, that's odd. But what?
I think he sits out a year.
Okay. And then after a year, he gets another job?
Yeah.
Because there's really not, I can't really picture him taking any of the jobs that are left open.
No, I can't either. And I don't see any situation where we'll have a surprise job popping up. So, yeah, I think he's going to wind up sitting out for a year. And he should. I mean, if I were him, I wouldn't be taking UCF, or you know, which I know they filled, but I wouldn't be taking that level of job. I would wait because I think he can get another Power 5 job.
Yeah.
And I think he'll get a decent one. And there'll be two or three Big Ten jobs open next year, too, and maybe that's a good move for him, go back to the Big Ten.
Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt to Tennessee.
That's not a sexy hire, but it may not be a bad one.
I'm with you. I don't think they could have done worse.
Yeah. Well, they almost did. I think Greg Schiano would have been worse.
Yep. Steve Campbell to South Alabama, I guess it is. Dana Dimmel to UTEP.
Boy, UTEP, with that hire, they just want to suck. That's telling your fan base, dude, we know we were bad last year. We think we can be worse next year.
Yeah. That's an odd choice. Chad Morris to Arkansas, Willie Taggart, as we know, to Florida State.
I like Chad Morris.
What about Mike Bloomgren to Rice? We didn't talk about that much, but obviously coaching at Stanford kind of lets you know he knows how to win with stricter recruiting or enrollment requirements, I guess.
I like that hire for them. I think that's about as good as they could have done. I don't know if it'll work out. But I like that hire, and I think he'll improve that team and then take a bigger job.
Yeah. Worst hire?
Well, besides Dana Dimmel.
Yeah, well, is Dana Dimmel worse than Herm Edwards? Because I think Herm Edwards is the worst hire. Think about it. For UTEP, Dana Dimmel's not like a – I mean, what's UTEP expecting? You know what I mean?
Well, they're in a crap conference. They should expect to be competitive. I mean,
but I'm saying, like, as far as who's going to coach them is what I mean. Like, Jimbo Fisher ain't going to UTEP. So, what's your expectation of what kind of coach you can get You can get Dana Dimmel. Okay, he's got some experience. Maybe.
Not good experience.
No, not good experience.
No.
There are three jobs left open.
Okay.
Do any of, if you're Kevin Sumlin, do any of these jump out? Does the SMU job interest you if you're Kevin Sumlin?
No.
Kent State?
No.
UL Lafayette?
More than the other two, but if I'm Kevin Sumlin, no, I feel like
you
I can.
You wait around?
I feel like I can do better, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, the Herm Edwards hire just makes no sense to me. That one, and I, at least Dimmel's been a head coach before. He did have success at Wyoming. He sucked at UH, no question. And I could at least see him doing a better job this time around. But Herm Edwards is just a head scratcher.
It's unreal.
I mean, that's like if they hired you. I mean, okay, AJ Hoffman now head coach at Arizona State.
All right.
It's like, okay.
I would fail at the job.
Well, yeah. I think he's going to fail at the job, too.
Yeah.
We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. But, because, I'd like that school to be good again. But I just, that one's one where you just go, okay. What's he going to, like, maybe he can recruit.
Maybe.
I mean, he is pretty decent inspirational speaker.
Yeah, but that's when you football games.
He kept the whole staff, so I guess he's just going to let those guys run the offense and the defense. And, I mean, you can win there. I don't think you can win national championships, but you can compete for Pac-12 titles.
Yeah.
And that one is just a head-scratcher to me.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What's the worst hire besides him? Let's take him and Dimmel off the table.
Probably Matt Luke, who was involved pretty much directly in the NCAA sanctions against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And they just hire him anyway. Like, I feel like that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the one that jumps out at me. I think Jonathan Smith at Oregon State is sort of strange. I feel like they could have done better.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to think about Josh Heupel.
That's a strange one.
He did get a lot out of that Missouri offense, but I'm just not sure.
But he's also been fired as a coordinator before,
right?
Or at least let go, however you want to put it.
And but you know what? I'll put the next worst one to me is Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, because Cristobal did not have success as a head coach.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
And I think you had a better option on your staff if you were going to go internal. But
I wonder if they take into account like what the players that are on the team want. Like, does anybody sit down? Because I know there's no head coach, but like, does the AD or someone who's in charge of making that hire sit down with the players and say, "What do you guys want?"
Well, in this case, I know that the players wanted him around, but they also want to keep somebody they're familiar with. So, I wouldn't let players make a decision for me. I really wouldn't. All right, guys, are you spending $60 for your Viagra?
Yes.
You're spending way too much then.
Oh.
You know, $60 should be buying you a bunch of beer, should be buying you a steak, should be getting you all kinds of cool stuff, fill up your truck with gas. You shouldn't be doing it on a pill. And guess what? How about you spend a couple bucks on it? I mean, that's what you're going to do if you go to Summerwood. Summerwood Pharmacy's right here in Houston, and they've got a better solution for your performance need. It's at a fraction of the cost of the little blue pill with the same active ingredient, sildenafil. And you can get a prescription mailed to an address you choose for free. And guys, if you're already paying for Viagra, well, guess what? Go to your doctor and say, "Hey, I want to switch over to Summerwood so you can save some money." And if you are thinking about it, guess what? Just go to their website, myedrx.com, and watch that video. And you'll learn everything you need to know about what you need to do. And there's no reason for you to be spending all this money when you can go local and get exactly the same thing. 281-225-4300 is the number. And if you just need some advice on it, they'll be happy to talk to you about it and tell you what to do. It's very simple. 281-225-4300 or go to myedrx.com. That's myedrx.com. Get back in the game.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, which is hopping. A lot of people here now, and lots of very attractive women here. So if you're not here, you should be.
Fred claimed earlier that every woman here is good looking.
Yes.
No.
All right. Well, no. You know who can answer that for us, right?
RJ understands odds, and the odds when you get in a place with 50 women that all 50 of them are good looking, unless it's like the Playboy Mansion, the odds are pretty slim. And I mean, let's face it, we're not at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, this is
it's close.
Okay. All right. All right.
What's going on, RJ?
I think that Fred is just on another level. He's thinking of inner beauty. Inner beauty.
No, Fred made it clear earlier that he would sleep with anything that walks.
Female. Female.
He later clarified that after some prodding, but early in the game it seemed like he wasn't too particular.
You're totally misrepresenting the whole thing. As usual. That's okay.
Once again, Fred is attuned to inner beauty. AJ, you're just superficial.
I'm very superficial when it comes to women, of course.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, trust me, I'm a pig. I mean, make no mistake about it. I'm a misogynist. I'm a vile human.
Hey, admitting
that's
it
how
is
my mama raised
step.
Me, RJ. That's how my mom and my daddy raised me.
Fred, I don't think AJ's ever going to like the corporate big time.
Probably not. Probably
they won't have him. No.
I think we're both kind of stuck here. let's start with the sports betting legislation, because this looks like this might actually happen, right?
I think it's a very high chance. And like anything, I like to find the people who know more than me. And I talked to three guys, insiders, that have deeper knowledge on the legalization side. And after the Supreme Court oral arguments on Monday, I asked, what's the chance of winning this case for legalization? One guy said 90%. One guy said 95%. One guy said 99%. So it seems quite certain. I can't tell exactly who I was talking to, but there's a fellow from one of the major professional leagues, and he had a meeting here in Vegas last week before the Supreme Court. Had a few people there. I was there, and it was about game integrity and them getting ready for, hey, if there's legalization, we've got to make sure we minimize the chance of corruption. And this fellow was talking about it like it was a foregone conclusion. Like, yeah, after this state goes legal, we're going to do this, and after this, we're going to do that. So to me, when there could be no stronger sign that the leagues have accepted this as a eventuality, so they want to have as much say along the way as they can. And once the leagues quit fighting it, which I think has now happened, I think it's almost a sure thing.
Well, you can be honest, because you're a big star. We know you talked to Donald Trump about it, right? That was your guy?
You know, he actually is not associated with the leagues, no.
Okay. Well, he seems to be. I mean, he tweets about the NFL all the time.
He might open up the USFL again. Who knows? But
all right. Well, let's get to some of the games. And one of the ones we were talking about a little bit earlier, Bengals now 6.5 hosting the Bears. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, I tell you, I think it's a cheap price. You know, actually, this was a pick Colin Cowherd had today, and he actually liked the Bears. And I gave him a wise guy disagreement. And the way I broke it down was this. This time of year, you really got to define motivation. What's going to drive effort? And I think it's very reasonable to say that the Bengals' effort is questionable, that the Bengals are off a brutal game. They got beat. They lost a few players. They can't make the playoffs. What's the point? And I think you're right. But now the question is, what's the point on the Bears? I mean, John Fox is pretty much out the door. I think he has half his boxes packed. So let's call lack of motivation equal. Now it's about how good the teams are. You know, and Trubisky actually had a pretty good passer rating last week. He threw for 102 yards. This is in 1973. And literally, if you look at that San Fran game, it was a close game with the Bears, and San Fran had the late score. First down, San Fran 23, Bears 8. Yardage, San Fran 388, Bears 147. Total yards, 147. And now they're worse because Kyle Long is out, their most important offensive lineman for the Bears. Now, if you look at Cincinnati, net yards per play, number 13 in the NFL. So the idea that this is about motivation for Cincinnati, fine. Now it's about how good these teams are. Home field's 3. Are you telling me that Cincinnati should only be 3 on a neutral? I think there's just value below 7 on the Bengals.
You know, you talk about motivation, and there's a couple games that I like this week, mostly based on what I think the team's motivation or lack of motivation will be. One of them is San Diego playing against the Redskins, who just got blown out and basically got their season ended last week by their biggest rival. And then the other one is Cleveland, who I feel is super motivated to win against a team that I don't understand. If you say and we talk about this all the time, and I know you'll give me this argument, because you say, well, if they were playing in Green Bay, what would the line be? And it goes from 3.5 to 9.5, and I can't picture the Packers being a 9.5-point favorite, even at home, against anyone, even the Browns. So I like the Browns and the Chargers a lot this week.
So you're learning. AJ's learning.
Thank you.
I'm proud.
Well, it's because
you
called him daddy. I mean, once you did that.
Well, I'm trying to reverse roles and be the authority figure here, you know, at least from the Vegas stuff.
But what drives the order?
What drives order? What? What are you talking about? Daddy, what drives the order? What's the deciding factors of the order, Daddy? Okay, let me explain something. I'm going to give you guys 2 more of those plays when I'm on. Not necessarily today, but the third one, RJ is going to have the flu the next week. And then we're going to see what happens from there. It's time for a little leverage. I am giving you 2, though.
Okay,
respect.
We get 2 more?
It can be today, it can be next week. It can be whenever you want.
Okay,
we're
going to save them.
Might want to save one, right? All right, here, I agree with you about the Browns. And here's a pretty interesting stat. One, and this isn't the stat, this is just a concept. Since he has the number one pick locked up, so any sense of, oh, they're motivated to lose, I think they're motivated not to be humiliated, and especially with Hugh Jackson seemingly staying, right? It'd be nice not to have a winless season. Number 2, I think if you look at Josh Gordon, now it doesn't sound like he should matter that much, but in his career with the Browns, when Josh Gordon's been on the field, they are 17-17 against the spread, the Browns. Exactly even. You might think, that's not so good. Well, when he's off the field, 17-37 against the spread. So this is a much, much better and different team with Brown. They got another receiver back. I feel like Kaiser's gone from the worst of all time to really, really bad, which is an upgrade. And I also think that the Packers, Hundley, there's this talk he's trending upwards. He had 84 yards. Trubisky outthrew him last week. So it's running, right? Okay, well, the Browns are a really good rush defense. And to me, this is a really good spot. All that said, I've given up the Browns, my own money. When I had them against the Lions and I'm up 7 in the fourth, getting 13 and I lose. And then the next week, I'm getting 8. I'm up 6 with the ball and a minute left and I lose. I've given up.
A team that I've kind of given up on, but I like them in this spot. Giants getting points at home against the Cowboys. I think with the coaching change and Eli back in there, I really like the Giants. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong because of the line move. The line was 6.5 or so. It's down to 4.5, and I think you've lost some value. But I see the reason for the move. I think it's your logic. You know, imagine this, and I know you guys are real power brokers down at ESPN Houston. And I'm being sincere, but imagine this. Imagine someone disrespected Fred Fowler and the whole city gets upset about it. And within a week, the guy who disrespected Fred is fired, and his boss is fired just for allowing it to happen. Now, how great would Fred feel?
Fred would have to feel good.
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
He feels like a protected guy.
Isn't that how Eli should feel and those who supported Eli?
Absolutely.
So I think there's going to be a lot of energy for the Giants in a spot where you question the energy. By the way, the line was 5.5. It's 3.5 now. So a slightly different two-point move than I said for memory. Here's why I don't love it, though, beyond the line move. Sean Lee's back.
When
the Cowboys have him on the field, they have about the 12th best defense. When he's off the field, one of the worst defenses. And also, the Cowboys want to run. We know that. Well, the Giants have the last or the worst rush defense in the NFL. So I think matchups favor Dallas. I think motivation favors the Giants. But, hey, the Cowboys got to win out to make the playoffs. So, in general, I'm going to pass this baby.
So one of the games that jumps out to me as sort of odd is, and I know you'll want to talk about this because it's your team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, I don't know if their performance was so awful on Monday night, even in a win, that they've been downgraded by Vegas. Maybe that's what I'm asking. Are they downgraded? Because the Ravens lost their best secondary guy, so they lost a player, and it seems like this line is closer than it would have been before they lost Jimmy Smith.
Oh, for sure. Well, first of all, Jimmy Smith at most is worth a half a point, at most. So let's not go crazy. Shazier's at most a half a point, maybe less. To me, this is about the perception of there being an aftermath. Right? Remember NWA, and then there was a solo album. That was a great movie, I thought, a couple years ago. And the name of the solo album was Aftermath, right? What happens after the destruction? Well, to me, it felt like destruction. It was the hardest-hitting game of the year, probably. Shazier might be out for his career. Who knows, right? And for a while, it was like, is the guy going to walk? So, but I think you saw the way the Steelers responded on the field. That happened early. And they played tough, and they played hard. Pittsburgh and Bray, I mean, you heard Mitchell after the game, their safety, screaming how this isn't flag football with his guy maybe paralyzed, his teammate. I mean, these guys are a different breed. We got to remember that the idea of any of us, and all joking aside, AJ, I know you were, you know, a really good athlete, but what was your, if you were going to make your case to a chick at a bar that you were a heck of an athlete, what would be the one thing you would say?
I don't know. I mean, like, what would I say?
Would
that
you
I've
say,
accomplished?
Oh, I did this with an MMA, or I did this in college. I mean, like, what's the one emblematic thing of you being a way above average athlete?
Well, I don't think I'm a way above average athlete, but I did fight.
Come on,
I did
AJ, fight. This isn't that hard.
I fought at a professional level for a pretty major organization.
All right. So you think you're not above average if you're a professional fighter? Come on.
I don't think I'm an above-average professional fighter.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying versus an average dude at the bar.
Okay.
You're a professional fighter, right? And you probably got a glimpse of those guys at the next level and the next level and the next level.
I have,
yes. And those guys just think differently. And I think a lot of this is us as normal humans – in some way, I'm pretty abnormal in others. I'm not sure it's good. But as normal athletes at best, we look and say, wow, that would scare me, right? Maybe I don't hit quite as hard or with my head down. I don't think Pittsburgh or those guys think like that. And because of that, this move, this line was 7.5 last week. You could have bet this game early. It was 7.5. Why in the heck should it be 4.5? It shouldn't. And when I do Adam Carolla, his main podcast, every week on Wednesday, and I give two picks a week, and one of my two picks was the Steelers laying the short number, I think there's real value.
Yeah, and I also will mention that he also does a national show with me on Tuesday nights, which you can hear again Sunday at 10 on SB Nation Radio, and also gives a best bet. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
RJ's pretty good at this stuff. One of the games that
he gets around.
Yeah,
I'm not as good as AJ as a fighter, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't fight AJ if I were you. I think I'd stay out of that one. But
I think it would be close, RJ, honestly.
No. I just look tough.
I want to ask you about this Vikings-Panthers game because that line has basically flipped from what it would have been last week as well, right?
Yeah, pure value play. I mean, this baby last week, and this is a great way to think about it. You know, we have the context of what last week was, and then the question becomes, what's changed? And usually what's changed is simply one game's been played. And Carolina at home was a 2.5-point favorite. Now they're a 2.5-point underdog. It's the third straight road game for the Vikings, negative. Additionally, if you look at DVOA, a very respected advanced metric, they've got Minnesota number 6 in the NFL. So the question is, that seems a little low. They should be better than that. But if you look at it, they've actually won an inordinate number of one-score games, 8 points or less, Minnesota. And in the long run, those games tend to even out. So I think what we have is a situation, and by the way, they're 5-1 in those games, 8 points or less, is they're certainly a mighty good team, but I think they're one level below. People are remembering that Rams game, and that was a heck of a game, but that was by far, I think, their best game of the year. And I think the Vikings are a little overrated, and I'm not a big fan of Carolina or Cam, but if I'm getting 2.5 at home, that's the value side.
RJ Bell is our guest. Some really good matchups this week, that being one of them. And but one not so good one. I would be curious what the Jets were. That line would have been before the season.
I thought you were going to go Texans Niners.
Oh
here.
No. I'm just curious though what the line would have been on the how much big of a favorite would the Broncos have been in this game before the season started?
You know, that's an interesting question because I mean if you think about it, entering the year the Jets were considered to be, and this is absolutely objectively true, the worst NFL team in a decade. So the fact that, you know, Denver was a, you know, way above average team, I think the line would have been maybe 12 or 13. I'm guessing here, right? But and I upstairs I've got all the early season or the preseason odds, but it's not right in front of me. So I guess, you know, my point is what's even more or which is equally eye-popping perhaps is just last week, 5 days ago, Denver was favored at Miami. Now they're underdogs at home against the Jets. That's about a 7-point swing going from plus one or minus one on the road to plus one at home. So now the question is, okay, 7-8 points. Now, how much difference is there between Miami and the Jets? 3? You know, what's Miami and the Jets on a neutral?
3, I would think, yeah.
Yeah, it's right in that range. So the idea this line's moved 7 to 8 points, the public has finally woken up that Denver is that bad. They were living on their reputation, on their pedigree, not as a good team, but just not as a horrible team. And the fact is they're a horrible team. 0-8 straight up, everyone knows that. 0-8 against the spread, most know that. But in those 8 spread games, they've lost against the spread by 120 points.
Wow.
So, by definition, in 8 games, they've lost by over 2 touchdowns on average each game against expectation.
RJ Bell is our guest. Well, let's go ahead and ask you about what your thoughts are on the Texans and 49ers. Both of us are kind of on the 49ers here.
Especially at 3. It got to 3. I'm like, oh, that's enough for me.
You know, Fezzik only got to win the Super Contest twice. He works for pregame.com, and we do a dream preview podcast every week. And, guys, you know, last week we had 150,000 listeners on this.
Wow.
Which, I mean, this thing has really blown up. And on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, you can check that out. I tweeted out. We have a section called Crossfire. And actually, Fred and I had some pretty adamant crossfires this week, too, on the SB Nation show. I think I won, Fred. What do you think?
I feel like I won that, but I always feel like I win. So. But it was spirited, I'll say that.
Yeah, I loved it. A lot of respect there, at least from my side. I'm not sure.
Oh, mine too.
The other way.
I like those when we actually get into it and respectfully disagree as opposed to, oh, you're a moron. But
and here's the thing about what we do in Crossfire. He's on one side, I'm on the other, and we debate as long as it takes. he was on San Francisco and I was on Houston. And I think you're right. At three, I'm not anxious to get to Houston. But at 2.5, I'm thinking that there's just an overreaction to Jimmy G. 2.5 is saying that the 49ers are the better team right now. Now, if I think here's the thing about Jimmy G. If you look at the advanced metrics, he had the 16th best quarterback performance last week. It wasn't all that impressive, at least statistically. But what I think you got to give the 49ers a ton of credit for is the passion they're going to be playing with their franchise quarterback now under center. So I think it is a situation where you upgrade the Niners, not so much for on the field, somewhat on the field, but more energy. But hasn't O'Brien kept this Houston team playing hard? And
Yeah,
he has, but he's still got Tom Savage. I mean, it's like trying to swim with a giant.
Who threw for 365 yards last week.
And still lost the game on the final drive.
Well, listen, coin flip.
Except he's done it three times now.
Oh, it's only 1-8 to flip three heads in a row.
Okay.
So, I mean, it happened. I mean, Oakland was like 8-1 in one score games last year. Was that skill or luck?
Well, but RJ, tell me about the time when Tom Savage was so great that he went down and won them a game.
No one's saying. Did you hear me use the word great in Tom Savage?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it's like playing with an anchor because Tom Savage isn't a real NFL quarterback.
Then why did you enter the year with a rookie that wasn't?
Because Bill O'Brien's a dummy.
All right, so I'm always skeptical to say a guy who coached. I mean, am I correct that he was Tom Brady's quarterback coach?
Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
He was Tom Brady's OC for, I think, 2 years.
Okay. So the greatest genius in the history of football, Bill Belichick, said, you handle the offense, but he's dumb.
Listen. How many of Bill Belichick's former OCs have gone on and been horrible head coaches?
I'm not saying that they're not below average head coaches. I'm saying they're not dumb. They're not just out of it. You know,
he's dumb relative to other NFL head coaches. I'm sure his SAT scores are great, but he makes bad decisions.
Isn't it a GM decision which quarterback you keep, or if you get a free agent quarterback?
No, it was not a free. It was a Bill O'Brien decision that Tom Savage was the guy to start the season.
All right, well, to me, I think here's what I know, and this is what I always say about the and everyone disagrees with me. You guys are on the majority on this. But the over-under for season wins for Houston was 8.5. They were supposed to be – you guys were supposed to be an above-average team. And Tom Savage was expected to quarterback most of the year. Whatever we want to say in hindsight now, I've asked a bunch of people, what was the over-under for starts by Watson before the season started? And some people said 2.5, and I think the most anyone said I respected was 4.5. So Savage was supposed to quarterback the whole year. And I get J.J. Watts out, and I get there's one or two other major injuries on defense. But otherwise, this is the same team that was supposed to win 9.5 games. Or, I'm sorry, 8.5 games. So to me, the idea that the Houston is one of the worst teams in the league, I just don't see it.
Okay.
We'll agree to disagree on that.
You guys are paid to be gadflies, to stir up trouble.
No. We don't have to stir it up. I mean, when Deshaun Watson was on the field, they were an interesting team. Without him, they're bad. And you say nothing's changed. I mean, J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Brian Cushing, Dwayne Brown was on this team to begin the season. A lot has changed. And what people projected Tom Savage to be, and you can ask Fred, this was not a sentiment that was shared on this show. People believed that Tom Savage could play for some reason. I had a feeling from day one that he could not play. And it's turned out that, no, he cannot play. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He shouldn't be a starting quarterback.
So other than the last drive, obviously that yardage count is quite impressive. How would you rate Savage last week?
It was the up until that last drive, and I said this on the show, it was the best he's played as a Houston Texan, the best.
Okay, so wouldn't we expect then to have a lot of optimism relative to his season performance this week?
No. No, but I mean,
your last game's your best game. That's a sign. You're talking
about a blind squirrel finding a nut, and now you're thinking he's going to go out and find another nut and another nut. He's still a blind squirrel.
How good was Case Keenum in your mind entering this season?
Case Keenum was not very good in my mind entering this season. No, but so, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that Case Keenum got bad coaching from Jeff Fisher and, drumroll, Bill O'Brien.
Well, here's what I'll say. Is I think that to be an elite quarterback, like a Super Bowl quarterback, you probably have to see it in the first 2 years. But to be the 16th or 18th best quarterback in the league, I think that can happen at any time. I mean, look at Brian Hoyer, right? I mean, for the 49ers this year, he was probably 18th, 20th best quarterback in the NFL. Keenum's another example. And the Jets quarterback. I mean... How good is the Jets quarter? If you were ranking quarterbacks this year on performance, where does McCown come rank?
He's in the top half. We talked about that earlier today.
Yeah. Top half? Surprising. He might be like eighth or ninth. Top half? Okay. You think there's 16 better quarterbacks than McCown?
Guys, we have to break it here. I'm sorry. I would love
to keep
going with this.
To be continued, RJ.
Yeah. We got to start these arguments at the beginning of when you're on.
It's like a cliffhanger. Same bat time, same bat channel next week.
All right. Well, and I'll be talking to you on Tuesday, RJ. Appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Pajamagram. I knew you were pointing at me for a reason, Fred. You wanted to hear about Pajamagram, and I'll tell you. Pajamagram, if you're looking for something that is going to make your lady happy but can make you happy at the same time, Pajamagram is the way to go. Christmas is coming. It's a win-win. Something that's going to make her feel warm and heat up your holiday as well. The super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from Pajamagram. It's hard to get her hot when she's freezing cold. And the hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to that age-old problem. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas, head-to-toe warmth. It's going to have her cozying up to you in no time. You can find all the hoodie footy styles at pajamagram.com. And if you're not into hoodie footy, no problem. They've got some sexy stuff as well. You can go with a sweet and sexy gift set, which includes a hoodie footy and a sexy midnight fantasy. You buy both today at pajamagram.com. You'll save $40. You don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIFT-PJs. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.